All right, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm going to speak about the topic of baptism since we have candidates. And when you become a believer, you decide to surrender your heart, your life, your future to the Lord Jesus Christ. It behooves us, it's important on us, Pastor Eddie as well, to teach some doctrines of the church, commandments that you should live by, and baptism is one of them. Baptism is a very important part of a Christian's life, and we're going to talk about that. So, like I said, when you surrender your heart, naturally there are questions about baptism. How do you do it? Why do you do it? When? And so forth. And let me just state out at the outset that baptism will not save you. Okay, let's get that laid out right away. Baptism does not save anyone. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you may be baptized, but if you don't believe, you're just going to get wet. I hate to say, some people end up just getting wet. And it has to do, and we'll get a little deeper into this, but I want to go over this because I mentioned when we were singing a little bit that the gift of salvation is free. Baptism is symbolic, but some people use it as a works. In other words, how can I earn salvation? Well, let me tell you, you cannot. No one can earn salvation. If that was the case, then maybe we'd all have a better chance at it. But you know what? It's even better than that because Jesus Christ died for our sins. All of the sins of the whole world was laid upon Him. And the wrath of God was poured out on Him. And so now because of His resurrection, and that's important in baptism, because of His resurrection, that we now have hope. And if we believe on Him, we now have entered into a new life. We have become, what the Bible says, a new creature. Oh, I kind of like that. I don't like the old creature. The old creature you wouldn't have liked very much either. Oh, he might have been nice on the outside, but he wasn't so nice on the inside. But now that I've become a new creature in Christ, hopefully I'm much nicer on the outside than I was before. But that's what it does. It changes us. We surrender our lives, our future, and our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about this tonight. So the very first thing I want to talk about is the command. The command to be baptized. Now, Jesus has stated that in the Great Commission, to go out into all the nations and all the world, teaching them to be disciples and baptizing. But I'm going to read from a different part. When the day of Pentecost came, it was a very special day. It was a very special event in history. That was when the Lord, God the Father, poured out the Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit. Again, another free gift that He pours out to help us live this life that we have chosen to live in Jesus Christ. So He poured out the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And Peter, who had denied the Lord three times, suddenly now was bold and he was able to preach. And he got up and he preached, and boy did he preach. Boy howdy. I mean, it's one of those things to where he gets up there and he... had to be such an anointed message because he was really condemning them. He was condemning them. He called them wicked. You wicked men, you killed this Jesus who was the Son of God. You killed Him. You know, and they all were, you know, were kind of like shaking and quaking a little bit because they finally, after they heard His message in Acts chapter 2, after they heard His message, here's how it happened. Now, when they heard this, His message, they were pricked in their heart. That word pricked is almost like stabbed, pierced. They were pierced in their heart. And they said unto Peter, because this is something that really got to them. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because he had already preached conviction. Conviction was on their heart. Now they know that Jesus was the Christ, that he was Lord. And they felt guilty. They felt like they needed a life change, but they didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do. And now they're asking the apostles, okay, you've convinced us. You've convinced us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What do we do now? And so here's what he says. I love it. And Peter said unto them, repent. Step one, repent. Amen. A lot of people misunderstand that word, but repent is like turning 180, changing your direction. What you used to do that was evil, you now do no longer do that, you do that which is good. If you used to hate your brother, your sister over here, no, now you love them. Bless those who curse you. Love those who despitefully use you. And maybe I misquoted that a little bit, but you get the gist. You know what I'm talking about. The old man who's over here wasn't so nice. So repentance is the very first part. But then he mentions and says, and be baptized. There's your command. Be baptized. Wow, why? Why be baptized? Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So here Peter is now laying out what he had learned from Jesus all those years of being his disciple. He's now preached a wonderful message. They had 3,000 converts that day. Woo, what a revival. I'd love to see 1,000. I'd love to see 500. How about this whole community? Wouldn't that be so wonderful to see so many thousands of converts? And they were all, and I agree with you, Brother Ed. I don't think the apostles, all 12 of them, because they had added one more themselves, but they, I don't believe 12 people could have baptized 3,000 people in one day. I don't know. I don't know if you could have made an assembly line quick enough to do that. But still, what do you call it? The bucket brigade? You know, the people passing buckets to put out a fire? Maybe that's how, I don't know. Would have loved to have been there to see it. 3,000 people. 3,000 heard the message of Jesus Christ being the Son of God. And they repented and were baptized. Day one. I love it. So there's the command. And so that reaction of the crowd was nothing short of a miracle. I really believe that. I think the crowd's reaction was wonderful. But then we have another man jumping further into Acts chapter 8. His name was Philip. This wasn't Philip the apostle. This was Philip the evangelist. So he decides to go up to Samaria and he's holding a town-wide revival. People are getting saved left and right. And it's great. He's doing wonders. He's doing miracles. And he's catching the attention of a lot of people. And they're giving their heart to Christ. And so there he is having a revival. And then all of a sudden, as good as that was happening, I would hate to leave a good revival going on. But Philip is so in tune with the Spirit that the Spirit tells him, he says, you know what, I want you to go down toward, I think it's Gaza. So there was this Ethiopian man traveling. He was worshiping up in Jerusalem, and he was headed toward Gaza. So Philip goes down. I don't even think he knew why at the moment. He just was told to go down to Gaza. And then when he got close enough to this chariot that was going by, the Holy Spirit told him, he says, join yourself up to this chariot. And this Ethiopian man was reading out of a scroll. They call it a book in the King James, but it was really a scroll. He was reading out of the scroll or the book of Isaiah. And when he was reading to it, so Philip now is going to join up with this guy. So remember, we've already given the command. Be baptized. Repent and be baptized. That's the command. But listen to this. I'm just pulling out a piece of this story. So Philip ran thither to him. This is the Ethiopian. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. and Philip's the one doing the asking. He said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" So he's asking him, asking this man in the chariot, "Are you understanding what you're reading?" And I like this guy's honesty because he says, and he said, "How can I? Except some man should guide me." And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. Now this is the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and he come across this scripture that said, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. You see, if you live long enough and you have children, you have generations. But this person was killed. So who's going to declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the Ethiopian asked, the eunuch asked, he goes, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, or I'm asking you, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is it of himself or of some other man?" So the Ethiopian was not sure who Isaiah was talking about. What did that scripture? And you know, we need to ask questions of the scripture. Ask God to reveal it in our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit open our hearts to the scripture. And in this case, Philip is being a guide to this man. And I love it because I think you can do this pretty much anywhere in the Bible. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." Yes. So he let him know who the prophet was speaking about. And everything about Jesus was true, in that the sense that when he was led like a lamb to a slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. And so he preached unto him Jesus. And I like this story because I don't know what all was said to him, but at some point, he must have mentioned baptism. He must have mentioned about being in the water. See, Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist, we call it. John the Baptist. Or you could say John the Baptizer, because that's what John was doing. He was doing a baptism of repentance. And so, anyway, they were talking, and somehow baptism gets brought up. And this next scripture... So we're talking about the condition here now. We've already talked about the command. Verse 36, Acts 8, verse 36. "And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" That's a question I want everyone in here to ponder. What is it that can hinder you from being baptized? Believe it or not, we're talking about the condition, the reason, or the at least the ability to be baptized and be baptized correctly. So the guy's asking the right question. So here we go. The Ethiopian eunuch, he says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And so that suggests that there may be conditions on wherein you shouldn't be baptized. But in this case, he's asking the question. Now, here we go. This is key, folks. This is key. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. If you don't believe, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, is the Son of God, you're just going to get wet. You can be baptized for sure, but you're just going to get wet. But here, he's talking about a commitment to the Lord. Amen. So you might ask, well then, who can be baptized? Well, who can believe with all thine heart? Can a baby believe with all their heart? No. No. And so you might ask me, say, well, what age can you believe? I don't know. I don't know. That's up between them and God. I've heard of people as young as 6 who have really committed themselves to the Lord and have given themselves over to the Lord as young as that. Samuel, go back and read about Samuel. He was just a little bitty boy in a priestly robe kind of thing. I would have loved to have seen how that looked. You know, we like things in small sizes. You know, we got grandchildren and we dress them up real nice and whatever. And they look so adult-like, but they're just a tiny little thing. And Samuel, he was very young, very young. And he served the Lord in the temple. He was devoted. His mother Hannah had devoted him to the Lord. So the question becomes then, who can be baptized? What hinders? And Philip is saying, you have to believe. You have to believe with all your heart. So we believe in what's called believer's baptism. We teach believer's baptism. You have to believe. If you're not old enough, if you're not capable of believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then, you know, I wouldn't stop you from being baptized, but again, you might be just getting wet. I don't know. It's between you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. But the key element that Philip is bringing out here is that if thou believest with all thine heart, then you may be baptized. And look what comes right after that. It's a confession of faith. Amen. A confession of faith. So he believes, and now he confesses to Philip. He says, talking about the eunuch, he says, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just went and worshiped at the temple. I don't know if he had heard or seen or anything about Jesus Christ, but now all of a sudden he's convicted to the point to where he says, you know what? I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I haven't either. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, I was getting ready to say, I'll stake my life on it. I am staking my life on it. Absolutely. I'm staking my eternal life on it. That's even more. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So why do we put ourselves in a pool? Why do we not just pour a little cup of water over you? What's the difference? Well, the eunuch says, and here it says, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both. Think about that. They both went into the water. If I had a cup, if I had a bucket of water, you gonna fit? Of course not. They both went into the water. To baptize is to submerge, is to dip, it's to immerse, to cover. There's a reason for that, and I'm coming to that shortly. So it's important to know that the commandment is given, repent and be baptized. There's the command. What hinders me? If you believe. Then came the confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then followed by, here's water. We have water right before us. We're going to go down into the water and perform a baptism. So now we come to the part knowing that, one, we have a command to be baptized, and two, belief is the key to being baptized. You must believe to be baptized. But now we're going to do the context, the command, the condition, the context. Why be baptized? Paul gives us a very good answer here in Romans chapter 6. He says this. In Romans 6 and verse 3, he says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death." That's why we lay you down. It's being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Now, if I'd lay you there, you might follow with him a little sooner, which I wouldn't do. I heard that old corny joke where a guy kept dunking this man. He says, "Do you believe?" And he'd come up and spitting and sputtering. He'd put him back down and he'd raise him back up. "Do you believe?" And the man goes, "I believe you're going to drown me." No, I wouldn't do that to anyone. But they submerse because we're buried in the likeness of Jesus Christ in his death. We're buried. It don't stop there. So therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And that like as Christ was raised from the dead, don't you love it? We're symbolically showing that we, as believers, we're burying ourselves into Christ's death, and we're raising back up into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. That shows we have hope. We have a future. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, as we raise back up, we also should walk in the newness of life. That's why you hear us say, we baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to walk in the newness of life. Folks, it's a momentous event. Baptism is not something to be taken lightly and to be trivial. Baptism is a momentous event in a Christian's life. I, personally, when I was 13, I was baptized. And I followed the Lord for a while, and I fell away. But when I came back, and I know most people here know the story, but I was dating Glenn's daughter. She's up in the loft right now. She was my high school sweetheart. One of the conditions that for me to date her, I had to come to church. So I went back to church. And I not only fell in love with her, I fell in love with Jesus Christ. And I rededicated myself to him, and I was rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And my heart was again renewed afresh. It was a wonderful experience. The command, repent and be baptized. The condition, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you may be baptized. The why. Why is if we are buried in his death, we're raised in the likeness of Jesus Christ, for the purpose to walk in a newness of life. We're made into a new creature. And so baptism becomes a public, if you want to go public with your faith, I know sometimes we have people who are so withdrawn, so introvert, that they don't want to let anyone know that they have accepted Jesus Christ. But this is not that kind of a time. To be baptized is to go public, is to say to the world, I believe. It's to show not only yourself, but others. And I'm so happy to see the family here to witness what I consider a momentous event in someone's life. Amen. And it just does my heart great. But that's the thing. I mean, so here we are. Here we are about to perform the sacrament of baptism in obedience to Christ. See, that's another key. If you want to follow Christ and you want to be His servant, then you must follow His commands. And if the command is to be baptized, then don't put it off. Don't put it off. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. So I want to close with that. We're going to ask, we'll pray first to close out the CD, and then we'll speak a little bit afterwards if anybody wants to be prayed for. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, we come to you in faith. We come to you in faith and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so, Lord, as we stake our eternal lives on that fact, and Lord, as we perform the rite of baptism in this place, I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will bless, that the Holy Spirit will come. And Lord, that you will bless all of the candidates, Lord, who are here for baptism. And God, that you will give them a renewed inner strength, Lord, that will help them to live out this Christian life, to this walk, this journey that we're on. And so, Lord, as we close out this service tonight, we just want to bless your name. We want to magnify your name. We want to acknowledge that the Lord is sovereign in all that he does. And so, Lord, as we surrender our hearts and our minds to you, may your presence here overwhelm us, Lord. So we give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.